everybody else has.
I'll let Brady answer that later on, but first we want to go to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, our Red Sox and Bruin insider, Nesson, who pretty much isn't doing anything now, just sitting around lounging around. It's Tom Caron, right, TC, or what?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the beard down to my waist. You know, never shaving again.
Watching those Hobart Statesmen, are you?
Yeah. Got a little Hobart action up in Maine for a little hiking. Now back to Hobart later in the week. We've been everywhere.
Man, that's a haul. I remember that. Exit 41 Geneva.
Yeah, you got it. The problem Goodness. Is you drive from, like, Massachusetts. If you go out to central New York, it's like, you know, you figure you're there when you get to Albany, and you're not even halfway. And that's when depression sets in, somewhere around that 90 west.
So, TC, 1 week into the offseason, are you ready for spring training yet, or are you having too much fun?
Not just yet. We got the boredom hasn't set in yet. You know, you miss a lot when you're doing baseball every night. So right now we're enjoying our vacation a little bit. Got a couple fun trips planned. Usually it's, you know, you get to, I mean, it's weird because it's just been so long since they, you know, 4 years is a long time since they missed the playoffs. You know, and so part of me keeps feeling like it's November because that's, you know, last year it was November before we got any time off. So sometimes I've been watching some baseball here, and it's a little depressing watching these games without your horse in the race.
Yeah. TC, the Red Sox made some news today with some coaching changes. They're replacing pitching coach Dana Lavangi. Why?
Well, I mean, it's not a big surprise. I think everyone expected it to happen. There's always a fall guy. And the coach isn't guaranteed tens of millions of dollars for the next few years, so you can't fire the pitching staff, so you clean up the pitching coaching side. Same guys who did everything right a year ago and got 108 wins are now being hit as the problem here. It's not fair, but it's the reality of it. Brian Bannister, and I think this is just as interesting, that Brian Bannister, who was the assistant pitching coach as well as the pitching analytics guy, if you will, is being kept as VP of the analytics side, but he's going to work mainly with the minor leaguers. So both the pitching coach and the assistant pitching coach are going to be replaced. And I find that interesting because I do think, and you can't pin it all on the coaches, but in this day and age, you know, catchers aren't calling the game from memory, right? He's looking down on that little flap thing on his wrist all the time. And that's a game plan put together by the organization, by the analytics, as well as the coaching staff. And at one point, if you remember, Christian Vasquez even said something, which I found pretty astonishing, after a game in late August. You know, he said, well, that's our plan of attack. You know, we fastballs high and breaking balls down in the dirt. And if that's your plan of attack, I think that gets pretty predictable. And I think the Red Sox pitching was pretty predictable as the season went on.
But does it seem interesting to you, though, TC, that this is Alex Cora's decision solely? It feels like there's no GM above Alex Cora, so this feels like it came only from him making all these changes. Does that surprise you?
Well, it'll surprise me if that's the case. I can't imagine that is completely the case. You know, they have the gang of four, as we're calling them, running baseball operations right now, three assistant GMs and a senior VP. Ownership's going to be involved in decisions like this, I think. So I would think this is as organizational as it is, Alex. I'm not saying it's happening over Alex Cora's, refusal to do it. I don't think he's opposed to it, but I don't think it was him alone. I think they looked at it. I would have bet you the house that Dana Lavangi was going to be reassigned at the end of the season just because of the way it went. You know, this is a results-based business. Someone ends up taking the fall. It's not usually fair to the person who gets the heap of the blame on something like this. And they're not letting him go, which, you know, speaks well. I mean, the guy's been with the organization for three decades from when he was a player. Been a scout. He's been an advanced scout. He's been a bullpen coach, now pitching coach. He's going to be a scout again. So they're doing right by him. But a little bit of cleaning up. Assistant hitting coach is gone too. So, I mean, you go through with that disappointing a season, you can't imagine they're going to bring everybody back the same way.
All right. Martinez, J.D. Martinez, they don't want him back, do they?
I've never seen, I mean, the guy leads all of Major League Baseball in RBI at the beginning of last season. Over the last two seasons, no one's driven in more runs in baseball than J.D. Martinez. And somehow we're sitting here saying they don't want him back. It's hard to imagine, but if they're going to lower payroll, and they are going to lower payroll, it almost has to begin with him. and he holds the cards on that. I think the assumption is he's going to opt out, so it won't be their decision to make. But we'll have to wait and see. He's got the 5 days after the World Series.
Yeah, between him and Mookie and all the other rumors we're hearing about, you know, dropping the payroll and all that. I mean, do you think they look at the Yankees as sort of an inspiration for the Sox in terms of rebuilding on the fly and how to save lots of money, spend less, and yet stay viable?
Yeah, and, you know, let's remember, I mean, there's an interesting quote that one of the owners said to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, listen, the goal isn't to spend the most. The goal is to win the most. Okay, and that's a point well taken. And everybody's getting all excited about the fact that the A's and Rays played that wild card game, and combined they made $70 million less than the Red Sox.
Wow.
All right, that's staggering. That said, of the, you know, seven teams now remaining, six of them were above league average in salary. Okay, so, you know, you maybe want to save some money, but it's very rare to be in the bottom third of payroll and make any kind of postseason run. So, right, yeah, Red Sox aren't looking to get to a $90 million payroll. They want to get below that 208, which is the first collective bargaining tax threshold. So they want to lower the payroll. They don't want to gut it out, but they're up so high, and they have so much already on the books for next year. It's going to take some creative decisions to get down below that.
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson, with us every Tuesday at 5. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law. You can find her online at AdamskiLaw.com. TC, I'm not really one who cares too much about the end-of-season awards, but where do you think Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts finish in the MVP voting? Top 5? Top 10?
Yeah, I think they'll both be top 5, and because it's two of them, top 6 if you were going to. Yeah, if you start to lay it out, you got a couple of Yankees. Trout will be there, at least one Astro, maybe two. So I would say top 6 or maybe 7, both of them. I think Bogaerts finishes higher, and I think this is the interesting conversation. Which one of them finishes higher? Because at the end of the season, I think if you just, you know, went by September, who's the more valuable player? It probably was Devers by the end of the season. But if you look at his season on a whole, you know, the errors in the first 2 months of the season still hurt him. You know, his overall WAR, which a lot of writers like to look at, suffers significantly because of the errors at the beginning of the season. His end-of-season defensive WAR was not good. Bogaerts much more consistent defensively and pretty comparable offensively. So I think Bogaerts finishes ahead of Devers in the vote.
TC, do you like it being the literal sense of the award, most valuable player, or do you like it just being best player? Because I got people advocating for DJ LeMahieu to win this thing based on just how valuable he is, but yet he's 15th in WAR. He doesn't have better baseball card statistics than Bregman, Semien, anybody of those guys, but he is valuable, TC.
Yeah, he is, and I like that. I like gray areas. I like the debate. Can we just not be in a rush to quantify everything with one number? You know, because if you're going to do that, then just make it the WAR award and give it to the guy with the best WAR.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be any voting. Doesn't have to be any. You can debate over whose WAR is better. You know, is it Baseball Reference? Is it FanGraphs? Is it Baseball Perspectives? You can argue over which WAR you like. But the whole thing of saying, and I hate, and I'm not a big WAR guy because I think there is so much debate over what goes into an equation of wins above replacement. I think it's a nice little handy thing to compare players. But as far as, you know, the new verbiage in baseball is, you know, he's a 7-win player. I hate that because it's, you know, again, it's not the goal of the game. It's like we said, the goal of the game is not to spend the most money. The goal of the game is also not to win WAR. It's to win games, and I don't always see WAR as equating to actual wins on the field. So let's not rush and just give it a WAR. I like value. I don't always believe that it has to be a guy from a playoff team, though I think that matters. I think if Trout stay healthy, I think he should have been the MVP if he could have continued at that level for the rest of the season, even though they didn't go anywhere. But he's out of it now, and I think that opens up the conversation, and I think winning does matter.
DC, on the field, though, of course, Yankees get the sweep. Astros still one game away. We were debating this earlier. Brady likes the Astros. I love the Yankees in this one. Which way are you going?
Man, I love the Astros coming into this whole thing, but their bullpen scaring me here over the last few nights. That bullpen looks shaky right now. I guess You know, word is they'll get Peacock back for the next round if they survive this, and that'll make them better. But, you know, Presley hasn't looked good. Ozuna hasn't looked that good. And those look like the kind of relievers that the Yankees could pound on. I'm still sticking with the Astros because they were my pick to win it all. I think it's an Astros-Dodgers World Series.
Right.
But I hope Houston gets through this, although I love an upset. I want Houston to get through this just because I think Houston, New York is...
Are you there, TC?
They made the decision not to bring Charlie Morton back. He's pitching great for Tampa Bay. Now Houston doesn't really have a fourth starter. Shaky, but I think he'll be fine. There's a lot of great stories going on in the baseball playoffs right now. But I'll stick with Houston over New York if it gets to that.
And how much fun is tomorrow going to be with a pair of win or go homes?
That's great. Yeah, and those have been really fun series to watch. I guarantee you, Houston does not want to get to a game five with Tampa Bay. Because Tampa Bay could sort of throw everybody in there, get a couple innings from Snell and a couple innings out of Morton, and they just patch it all together, a couple innings out of Glasnow. And all of a sudden, you could be, you know, shut out here in the seventh or eighth inning before they hand to the bullpen. Nobody wants that if you're Houston. You've got to get it done in game four.
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson with us every Tuesday at this time. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law, 802-363-6371. On to hockey, the Bruins 2-0 heading into Vegas tonight. What do you like so far from the Bees?
Well, I can't wait for tonight. It's going to be a great test for them. They've looked good. You know, that not a lot of scoring. And that's going to be tough, right? I think Vegas hasn't given up more than a goal in a game yet. And the Bruins haven't exactly been lighting it up. Only got three goals in two games. I like the defense. I like the goaltending. They've both been really good. You know, and it's really nice to maybe talk about this. Can we finally just say it's a tandem now and not that make it like, well, can he give enough rest to Tuukka? I mean, I think this is part of the year where they're able to play both. You're able to ride Tuukka through the hot stretches. Go with the other guy when he's cooled, and in general, use both throughout the season. I'm old enough to remember Lemlin Moog, and you know that can work. you can have a couple of guys. When you have two guys from the start, I think it keeps both fresh. I think it gets good competition going, and I think they play good for both of them. And I think the defense has been really strong. Power play, I'd like to see a little more out of the power play. And if you watch tonight, Vegas has they can score shorthand. Love to jump the point and head up the ice. So they're going to have to be careful about that. But real good start, because remember last year, it was such a brutal October that they spent the rest of the season. You know, it was what the Red Sox tried to do and couldn't, you know, try to make up for that horrible start. Obviously, it worked for the Bruins. They got the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, but July's going to be a whole lot easier if you can take care of business at the beginning.
And as to your point, I think only six games separated them in the regular season between Tuukka Rask and Halak. So I think they're definitely looking into splitting the time out there. Not getting a lot of goals, but they're making them hold up. The goaltending is saving them so far. They've got to pick that up a little bit. We're only two games in, though.
But, you know, if you remember last year, they kind of pulled the plug on Tuukka when he went through that really bad stretch, remember? And then the numbers evened out in the end, but it was more of Tuukka's job at the beginning. And then we all saw what Halak was doing. He's like, when are you going to play him more? When are you going to play him more? And they finally did. I thought it was telling that with a day off in between, you still got both of them in the first two games, which tells me that Cassidy is thinking of playing them both pretty evenly at the beginning of the year, which I think is great news for these guys.
So it's getting upon tourist season as the Leafs continue to change the leaves. Are you? I'm thinking hockey Leafs. Are you going to be a tourist up here the next couple of weeks?
Try to work. You know, it's funny. So my son Jack, who lives there, was just with us in Maine, and we're trying to figure out when we can get up there. The success of the Hobart Statesmen are going to dictate that. if the soccer team goes deep in the playoffs, then we might not be getting up to Vermont for a while. But as soon as the Hobart soccer season ends, we'll be getting up to Vermont. But we've got a random trip to Nashville scheduled in the middle, and that's just purely for fun.
Are you meeting with Mookie Betts trying to negotiate?
Well, you know, when I'm down there, I might try to catch up with him and see what's going on, make him buy a round or two. We'll see.
By the way, one of our listeners just said, Hobart alum, the drive is the worst.
It is.
I'm telling you, a friend of mine went there and is actually on their board. And as the day Robbie committed to go there, he sent me a note apologizing for the drive in advance. I'm really sorry. And, you know, and I thought, you know, the drive from Massachusetts to Vermont can feel long because, you know, once you get up on 89, it kind of goes there for a while. You've already been through New Hampshire.
Right.
It's nothing like this. I mean, no. You get to Syracuse. Yeah. And you feel like you've been in the car for a week. You get another hour after that. I mean, it doesn't end. And no, you can't fly.
You can't
fly to Syracuse.
Geneva Airport.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, I mean, it's just, yeah. That's why the New York Penn League, man. Jump on the bus and you're on forever.
Oh, absolutely. Tell me about it. No, I remember my sister.
I know. I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah, my sister went to William Smith. I remember that drive many times out there to Hobart. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's beautiful once you get out there, but. Yep. Yeah, and we got good upstate New York talk here. But I mean, last week I went and saw him play in Ithaca. So I drove.
Oh, wow.
I met a friend for lunch in Binghamton. Then I drove up to Ithaca. Then I drove up to Geneva to school. I'm driving home. I'm like, I'm never coming back to New York, except I'm going back Thursday. Well, there you go.
TC, when they play Oswego, then you can invite me and I'll buy you around at all the Oswego hotspots.
You know, they don't play Oswego this year. They took care of business. They beat Cortland and Geneseo, but they don't get Oswego this year. They got Plattsburgh, too. They were up in Plattsburgh at the beginning of the season. So they beat the Cardinals. So there you go.
Next season, then, on me.
All right, there you go. I love it. Yeah, put Oswego on the bucket list. And Oneonta. I haven't been to Oneonta in a while, either.
There you go.
Boy, you missed so much.
He's Tom Karen, Red Sox and Bruin Insider at Nesson. TC, have a great week. We'll speak to you next week.
Good SUNY talk, guys.
Take care. DC Talk, Karen.